Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature, whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes. Nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.
Barnes, 8 on the clock, drives on Draymond, takes the hit. Comes middle, pump fake, nowhere to go. Locked up, 14-foot fadeaway, slides it in. What a shot by Harrison Barnes. Timeout, Warriors, and they're down by 19. It's the largest lead of the night for the Kings, and the Golden 1 center is in a frenzy. And the Warriors' season might be 9 minutes and 35 seconds away from concluding.
Bay Area is Draymond Green. The Morning Roast with Bonte Hill and Joe Shasky is live on YouTube and Twitch right now. Time for you to like and subscribe.
Tim Roy on the calls. Warriors lose by 24 points, 118-94, blown out. Really, Sacramento controlled the entire basketball game. The Warriors are very fortunate to be down 4 at the half, 54-50. JK and Moody had a big second quarter. But after that, the Kings dominated. They outscored the Warriors 64-44 in the second half. Their starters outscored the Warriors starters 104-48. And just like that, the season comes to an abrupt end. As we say, good morning to everybody out there. Steve Kerr will join Willard and Dibbs today at 5 p.m. to talk about the season that was. But let's go to the lines. Duke and San Bruno. Duke, what's happening? We're ready to tat some of these calls, open up some of these lines. Want to hear from Warrior fans today on what needs to happen here moving forward as the season ends last night in the 9-10 playing game. What up, Duke?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. I think everybody can agree this is probably the best thing that could have happened because running it back is not going to work. You know, Steph, the writing was on the wall, if you ask me, against the game on the with a game against the Pelicans.
Mm-hmm.
And Steph was given 250%, and they still came up short. Can we all agree that they're not going to build the team around Steph anymore, or is that narrative still going to move forward?
Don't know. He's 36 years old. You have to do what's best for the organization. Is that what's best for the organization? Building around Steph Curry? I think you try to exhaust all options. He's been your franchise. Chase Center is the house that Steph Curry built. You do everything to try to maximize his final years in the NBA. He's still an all-NBA player, but he needs help. And we saw that post-All-Star break.
To me, this is right out of the LeBron playbook. I know everybody hates LeBron, and you don't want to give him any credit. But, like, I would just view this entire offseason needs to be blueprinted around exactly what LeBron does every year, which is, okay, I got to find my Anthony Davis, and then I got to retinker this entire roster to be able to fit into that window.
Yep.
And like everyone, oh, you can't develop on the fly. I mean, Austin Reeves, I'm watching him, seems like a pretty serviceable player that they found on the fly. I mean, they seem to find these random dudes, and they always seem to be swinging big. And then you get the random Spencer Dinwiddie's at the deadline because he got waived or whatever. Like, to me, however LeBron has operated, finally the Warriors have to kind of do a similar thing with Steph Curry.
No doubt. And you
and
know
that's,
what?
That's what I'm viewing it at. And I think it's been a negative, but now it's like, nah, we're too deep into the water now.
Well, the Warriors are 19-24 at one point this season. And I do know, contrary to what people think about the Warriors refusing to move anybody at the deadline or how active they were, the Warriors were fielding plenty of phone calls. They were doing it early and often. I mean, when Draymond got suspended the second time, the phone lines were opening up. There was just no deal out there to make this team better. And you just don't do a deal just to do a deal. Like, it's Pascal Siakam, for example. I saw some things, you know, maybe you should have moved off of Chris Paul and Kuminga at the deadline, or Wiggins. It got Siakam. Well, number one, Toronto said they weren't interested in Jonathan Kuminga. They already have Scottie Barnes. It's a bit redundant. They already have R.J. Barrett. That's a bit redundant. So you're not going to just do a deal just to do a deal. And you're not getting Pascal Siakam, who, look, there's no guarantee he resigns with you anyway. But I don't think, how much better is Pascal Siakam making his team?
That's the question.
Right.
Were you one Pascal Siakam away?
I don't think so. I don't think so.
You lost to the Kings in the ninth.
I don't think so.
Going away.
I don't think so. So, you know, the phone lines were open, is what I'm saying here, early in this season. The phone lines were open, and the phone lines will remain open. Mike Dunleavy, Joe Lincoln, they're trying to get this team better, but how do you do that? And it's apparent that Steph needs a lot of help here. Got worn down. He didn't shoot well post-All-Star break. He got worn down trying to carry this team by himself. He's not good enough, not great enough, I should say, to carry this team by himself. He needs a co-star. He needs a co-pilot. There's no doubt about that. But you got to pair the right one with him, and that co-star has to know, look, man, this is going to be a tough situation if we don't win.
Well,
if I fail, it's going to be tough for me playing at Steph Curry's house. That's all I was saying.
No, I know, but like, look around the league. You don't think Kyrie feels that heat playing alongside
Luka Doncic? Well, he's got experience now of doing that with LeBron James, and it took him a while.
You think Anthony Davis doesn't feel that heat with playing alongside LeBron James?
He feels it big time.
You know, like anybody who plays alongside Kevin Durant feels that.
Hey, he feels it big time.
So I think that's not Steph exclusive.
But Kevin Durant though is playing with Devin Booker's team. That's Booker's culture.
All right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
I'm just saying that Kevin Durant's been there to where he played along Steph. He played along Kyrie.
I just don't think that's exclusive to Steph.
But look at every stop Kevin Durant makes now. He gets blamed for everything. Well, no matter what.
Again, going back to, I just don't think a lot of people like Kevin Durant.
Well,
that's just baked into who he is.
That sucks.
Well, no, I think that's the reality.
People don't like Kevin Durant. Why? Because he tweets at people? That's stupid.
Well, it's like Barry Bonds wasn't likable. There are certain guys that are like,
Kevin Durant is a cool dude, man. Look, Kevin Durant is a cool dude.
You might think that way.
And he's more open to everybody. Like, think about Kevin Durant. He's one of the greatest players ever. He's out here tweeting with randoms, just chilling.
I know you like. I like Kevin Durant, but I think
people don't like Kevin Durant. Why? I just don't get it.
Like, really?
I just don't get why. Like, is he a hateable dude? Why is he hateable?
Well, James Harden's more hateable.
Hey, James Harden holds out on basketball teams. That's hateable.
Yeah, I don't think he's like
passive aggressiveness. Like, what? There's a lot more stars I hate than Kevin Durant. We hate Kevin Durant. People hate Kevin Durant. Really? Why? Yeah, that's weird.
Well,
to me.
I'm just saying, like, I don't think it's exclusive to Steph. But what I would say is that one of the things I look at Luka and the Dallas Mavericks as a version of what could happen here. I look at LeBron and Anthony Davis as a version of what could happen here. And the reason why I say those spots, think of how different those teams have changed in like a year and a half. Like, the Dallas Mavericks, just a couple years ago, were vastly different. Right. The team that they played in the Western Conference Finals was very different than the team they have today.
They tinkered it.
But I think it starts with me, like, finding the number one guy to play alongside Steph is number one. And then number two is complete financial flexibility. To be able to swing deals and be fluid and all that. So right now, if I'm looking at the Warriors, I think all Warrior fans, there's no in between. Either you're in with the other guys and we're just going to ride it till the wheels fall off, and I feel like I'm already falling off, meaning Steph, Clay, and Draymond, or it's Steph stays, but everything else is on the table.
Well, I think
there's no in between.
Well, I think everything else was on the table this season, behind the scenes.
You think so?
Oh, absolutely. I think when they got off to the rough start and Draymond got suspended, everything was on the table. And that mindset has to be there. So it has to be everybody but Steph. That includes Draymond, that includes Wiggins. But are they doing that the way they, you know, Steve Kerr, I got to take about their word. They want to bring the big three back. And now all of a sudden you become the San Francisco Giants. What killed the San Francisco Giants was you committed to the Brandons when they're past their prime. That's what we're dealing with here. You could get a head start on the rebuild because
Here's the reality. Before we go back out to the lines.
I don't think you can rebuild. You have to reload.
You have to reload, but look at the West. Minnesota's not going anywhere. No. They're just beginning.
No.
New Orleans is not going anywhere.
No.
They're just beginning.
Barring health.
Oh, barring health. Oklahoma City has 9 guaranteed first-round picks through the year of 2030.
I know.
And they've already got Chet and SGA and Josh Giddey and Lou Dort and Jalen Williams. They're not going anywhere. Dallas with Luka? They're always going to be in the mix.
But Dallas, I would say, again, the reason why I like Dallas as an example for the Warriors is Dallas is, like, they didn't even make it last year.
They didn't.
They were on the outside looking in. They swung the deadline deal for Kyrie when no one wanted him. And they took a leap of faith. And it's worked out tremendous.
But
they've done a great job reimagining the roster around them.
But what they did at the deadline was getting Daniel Gafford.
Because they had flexibility.
And they got P.J. Washington. And they got Derek Lively the second in that draft where they don't give up their pick. So now you got young assets who can play alongside Luka to pick and roll. And you see Lively's shooting percentage over 70%. Gafford's had stretches where he's gone 33 for 33.
He's been amazing.
PJ Washington has been a nice fit,
Agreed.
But they can also move him in the offseason if they don't like the perfect fit alongside Tim Hardaway Jr. So they're not going anywhere.
No.
The Clippers in LA, Steve Ballmer's gonna spin more.
They're at a crossroads if they don't.
They're at a crossroads.
Like they're at a crossroads.
But they have the LA market.
I agree.
And they have a new stadium and Intuit Dome. And Steve Ballmer will spin and try to do everything he can to be in the mix.
No, I'm not writing them off.
So
but they're in a crossroads.
But the Clippers have always been able to attract free agents.
Well, but the Clippers are a team like Phoenix. If they get dismantled, they're one of the teams you're competing with if you can get better than. You know what I'm saying?
No,
like, if they get dismantled. Because they're going to be in an arms race too, is what you're getting at.
What I'm getting at here to land the plane here, the West is loaded.
Well,
there's no easy outs. To try to get better, the Western Conference could be very difficult though. And now you got these young teams with cap flexibility, young assets, long athletic defenders. This is an uphill climb for the Golden State Warriors to get back to the mountaintop. Let's go to let's get to RJ at Fairfield. RJ at Fairfield. Then we'll get to everybody here. RJ, what's happening?
What's happening, man? Hey, like the beam. I just want to come up. Hey, this has been a fun rivalry, man. And I ain't gonna lie. Yesterday, you mentioned that the players to watch was yours was Keon Ellis, mine was Keegan Murray, and honestly, I didn't expect that play from them offensively. Like, I've never expected Keegan to score 32, and then I didn't expect Keon Ellis to be scoring threes like that, man. But yeah, I mean, the game plan was simple. You know what I'm saying? Like, it was swarm Steph Curry, and offensively, we beat y'all on the offensive boards too, man. So
15-8.
It's been a fun rivalry, man. Yeah, I love y'all still. You know,
it's all love.
I ain't gonna lie, I was happy last
RJ,
night.
RJ, all love. Enjoy the moment.
Yeah,
I mean,
you
guys won, and sometimes in life, and we've been talking about this. You gotta wear the L,
and
the Warriors have worn the L,
honestly,
and the fan base needs to learn how to take a loss.
Honestly, but I think the fan base is fine. Honestly, if you watch the Warriors this season, are you really surprised they lost that game last night?
Well, no.
I was open to all outcomes. Yesterday I said I wouldn't be surprised if they got blown out. I wouldn't be surprised they lost. Did I not say that, Spinelli?
I know, but I took every opinion.
No, I didn't take every opinion. I just kept it real.
I was a little skeptical just because I've been skeptical for 2 years.
You're always worried,
and I felt like a hater.
But you're always worried. The Niners could be 17-0. You're going to be worried about a game. You're always worried.
And I was worried.
That's society. You always are worried. You're worried about all the teams. That's just who you are. It's all good. I love that about you. You're always worried. You're the worry of the show. But I did say.
Do you love that about him?
No, I don't.
No,
it's kind of drives me crazy.
No.
It's actually annoying.
I was gonna
it's
say.
Actually really annoying. But no, seriously. I said I wouldn't be surprised if they blew out the Kings. They won a 5-point game. If they lost, that's who they've been all season. They've been an inconsistent basketball team that was 21-20 at Chase Center. This is who they've been all year. Friday night told you. A game like the Pelicans. It was like, they've lost that game this year. And what do? They give up 45 points in the second quarter, and they lose that game.
Come on, Pelicans.
So nothing surprised me about that game yesterday. So I didn't lose any sleep. I said that yesterday. I don't know why you're looking at me like that. I said they've been inconsistent. What do you think? They're going to blow out the Kings. That's all talk for fodder and radio. That's all fun.
I mean, of all the outcomes, though, that one did feel like the one that no one had on their board. Like, if it was a close game and the Kings won, it's like, okay, but a blowout? From, like, start to finish, it was just clear.
That was a nail in the coffin game.
I actually mentioned the society, too. I was like, man, it's going to be interesting to see this veteran core If they get behind by 15 or more, what's going to happen in this basketball game? Is there going to be an avalanche? Is the snowball going to get bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger? You know what? It did last night. The Kings roasted them. Roasted them from beginning to end. So, you know what? This is who they've been all season. An inconsistent basketball team that lost in a 9-10 game. Lost in a 9-10 game to Sacramento. Wow. Let's go to Cereal Breakfast in Sacramento. Cereal Breakfast, what's happening? Cereal, you there? Go once. All right. Plus, brought to you by
I do love cereal.
Let's go to Sammy in Sac. Sammy, what's happening? You're on the roast.
Man, how's it going? I got to deal with all these brand new Kings fans out here for the past couple of years, and it's the absolute worst, man. But I just got to point some things out real quick. I blame this year on the old guys of the team, Draymond being out, Wiggins being inconsistent. Klay is just not who he is anymore. Steve Kerr, man, doing bad substitutions, having got older guys staying when it should be sitting on the bench, but the younger guys in. Having Steph and Klay running around, Draymond doing the same plays all the dang time, man. It's just it killed us. And they were going to live and die with the old guard. I also got to say this about you, Bonte, man. Past two games, you were very, very, very overly confident when they were against the Pelicans and the Kings, my guy.
What do you want me to do? What do you want me to do? Not be arrogant and confident? What do you want me to do? Well, I'm worried about they're going to lose. I don't think like that. I don't roll like that. I'm going to ride with my guys to the end. That's it. That's all. I may think differently inside, but outside, I'm going to be confident arrogant.
The hard part to accept, I think, not for everyone, but for some, is that it's not one transaction. It's not one extension. This is just what happens in sports.
When you get old.
It's cyclical.
You get old.
You know? Well, it's not even just old. I also think that there's... there was a defiance, which was well-earned, regarding, like, people call the Warriors arrogant. And they are arrogant, and they've earned that arrogance. They've absolutely earned that arrogance. And it's you know, trickled down to the fans for many years. But, like, I think that this team got caught up in a lot of emotions and just everything. The emotion, you got the emotional attachment to this player and the emotional attachment to that guy. And I've always been a starter. And I've always been a guy who's going to get mine. And it doesn't matter about what happened a week ago. We're gonna figure this out. Like, all year they kept trying to talk the coach. And I don't blame him for this. I would be doing the same thing if I was a coach. Try to talk a run into existence. But at some point, you have to physically actually go through the run. And you could talk about your past achievements, but you have to do it. And they just never could physically go out and do it.
Well, Steve Kerr tried to find lineups that could work all season long. He tried to find something.
Yeah.
That's why you had 27 different starting lineups. That's why you had so many different closing lineups. He was trying to find the right combination. He didn't. It was tough to find that right combination. Why? Because all these pieces just don't fit. And it's possible for a team. It's possible for all the pieces of the puzzle to not fit. And that's what the Warriors, that's what you're looking at right now with the Warriors. So, look, man, I know people would have, it's a 9-10 playoff game. The fact that the Warriors are in a 9-10 playing game was enough for me to say, there needs to be changes. There needs to be changes. You weren't going to go on this miracle run and all of a sudden play Oklahoma City. Like, here's the thing. Here's the thing that I thought all season long, and it was funny, and I said this earlier in the year, when teams were coming to the Chase Center, they didn't fear the Warriors no longer, right? You're laughing like, did I not say that?
No, it's just, it's not you. It's just the whole Warrior fan base, this station included, and just everywhere, it's like, they could go on a run.
No, they could. It wasn't everybody, though. It was a lot of realistic Warrior fans saying, they're not that good.
Could they go
but
on
here's,
a run?
Here's how I felt about this team all year. It's like, teams don't fear them no longer. And that fear factor's gone. When they were humming, even in 2022, when they got off to the 18-2 start, teams were like, oh crap, the Warriors are back. When Curry came back during that lost year when they won 15 games and they played Toronto that Thursday night when Stephen Curry returned from the hand injury, all those players in our locker room with Pascal Siakam, with Kyle Lowry, with Fred VanVleet, they're like, damn, Curry's back.
Yeah, but the Grizzlies still went at them.
But they beat the Grizzlies.
I don't know if they necessarily feared them. The Grizzlies are just delusional.
The Grizzlies are dummies. That's good that they pushed the Warriors like that. But at the end of the day, they lost their six games.
Yeah, I know. You know what I'm saying? Ja did break his wrist.
That fear factor was there. They were up 2-1 and Ja broke the wrist. So, I mean, no, it wasn't even the wrist. It was the knee.
I thought he
grabbed his little knee.
Maybe the wrist was the following year or whatever. So, but you get where I'm going. Like, I don't know.
But the fear factor slowly dissipated. It's gone now. It's gone. And so we get to a 9-10 game, and you're going up to Sacramento with this team this year from what we've seen, all the inconsistent play. There's no surprise they lost last night. I'm not surprised. I'm not sitting here still like, oh, my God. But I think this is a good thing because change is needed. Change is needed. But we're talking about getting old. Here's Barkley on the Warriors getting old, because that is a thing, getting old. It happens in sports, folks. And when it gets old, the only thing that's going to happen is you get older. That doesn't necessarily mean you get better. You get older.
They in serious trouble because, number one, Draymond's got three or four more years. They're going to have to make a hard decision on Clay. Clay's not going to get younger. Do you sign him for three or four more years, which he won't? That's the elephant in the room. Because they got to make a decision on him. And listen, we all love Clay. And Clay wants a max deal. He's not going to get a max deal. But you see he's compromised because of the ACL and the Achilles. Do you still sign him for three or four more years, what he wants? How can you get young if you're going to sign him? So they are in serious, serious.
I just asked, what would you do?
What would I do?
You can't do a sign and trade?
Third time.
Can't do a sign and trade?
He has reportedly lowered his.
Well, he's going to have to.
Yeah, well, but I'm saying, so he's not like.
Yeah, but Ernie, but he's not going to get better. He's going to make less money, but he ain't going to get no better. Older people don't get. Sports ain't for old people. They're for young people. That's no disrespect. Clay's a Hall of Famer, but he's lowered his number. But he ain't. You know, just because he lowered his number don't mean he's gonna play better as he ages. It doesn't work.
He can play better in a different role.
What role?
He could play in a second unit role.
So he could play, and we saw that. He did play better with the second unit. He averaged 19 a game with the second unit. Shot over 41% from three. But in this situation, as much as we say, move on from Clay. He was awful last night. He was awful last night. 0 for 10, 0 points, the worst game he's ever had in his career. This is the most field goal attempts he's ever had by shooting this poorly since March 27, 2013. But is this situation the best for Klay Thompson? Is this offense the best for Klay Thompson? Is this personnel the best for Klay Thompson? Forget for a second what Klay Thompson means to the Warriors and whether or not the Warriors want him back. We saw in this system, if you don't have shot creators, Klay Thompson can be compromised and be a limited NBA player.
There's also a calculation of the emotional toll that I think that he presents currently. I think that's a fair thing. Like, the guy's emotions, which are, we understand them. I'm not saying that I'm cold and calculated and his emotions don't matter, but clearly he cared about starting. And clearly he cared about what his hierarchy was, whether it was within the team, the league, etc. And I think some guys respond to contract seasons and things like that. And some guys, it doesn't matter whatsoever. I think that he got a little in his head at times over the last couple of years, just in general, you know? And I think that's been a very difficult thing to navigate for the team. And I think it's affected. Like, I'm watching that game last night, Moses Moody. And I don't know how good Moses Moody could be. I don't know. But I think part of the Klay conundrum they've been in the last couple of years, I think Moody has been the consequence of not playing Moody is a part of that. You know what I'm saying? And I think adding GP2 is a big part of that. It's not just Klay, you know, playing Wiggins and playing Kuminga, you know, like Moody hasn't had a role. And I'm watching Moody last night. I'm like, God, I would have loved to have seen a little more Moody. I'm not saying he's the difference maker, but there's so many Klay questions. The number one thing is without even adding his potential money to the books, if they have the same projected roster with CP3 opting in and Looney staying, they're $3 million over the top of the threshold.
I know.
They're $3 million over. And I know you've been talking about his price point and everything, and I get where you're coming from, and the league might view him a certain way. They can only afford a certain number for him. And that's if they finagle a lot of other things and move things around. Like,
if you're going to play this brand of basketball, to read and react in emotion offense, and Klay can't move like he used to move, then is it best for Klay to be here, and is it best for Klay to go somewhere else?
What about the team?
Is it best that's what I'm saying. Is it best for the Warriors to bring him back if you're going to play this brand of basketball at this number? What's the number going to be? Now, again, I keep citing his numbers when he did make the roll, when he made the adjustment. And I think the one thing we love about Clay is that he does show his emotions. I like seeing that for pro athletes because a lot of times guys are robots and they're speaking in cliches. Klay Thompson tells it like it is. He tells you how you feel, which I think makes him endearing. But since the All-Star break, he averaged 28 minutes a game, which we all wanted. We all owned him down to 25, 28 minutes. Man. He got down to 28 minutes. He gave you 19 points a game on a team with limited shot. How many shot creators did they have on his team? Steph?
CP3 would create shots for others, but, I mean, very few.
Very few. 19 points a game, 41% from three, 45% from the floor. Those were Klay Thompson's last 27 games.
Mm-hmm.
He was a lot more consistent. He shot better than Steph Curry from an efficiency standpoint from post-All-Star break, but he needs help, obviously. He needs help. He needs guys to create for him. Last night, the rhythm was not there offensively. He forced shots up. He was not good. Not good at all. But he's a byproduct of Steph getting blitzed left and right and the ball not finding him. So I don't know what that number is for Klay Thompson, but is it best for the Warriors to bring him back? And is it best for Klay Thompson to come back?
Klay's going to do what Klay wants to do. I'm just going to go from a Warrior because I'm a Warrior fan, and I love Klay, and I'll forever love him. He's in the Frank Gore zone for me right now. And what I mean is forever minted. Love the guy. Legend. All-time legend.
Dive into the start of summer at Whole Foods Market. Check out their summer splash event with sales on fresh organic produce, organic strawberries, and a fan favorite sale on Ben & Jerry's and Talenti. Explore deals on grill-friendly meats like organic air-chilled chicken breast, beef and chicken kebabs, all with no antibiotics ever from our meat department. Plus, grab easy sides from prepared foods and cool off with refreshing drinks. Kick off your summer and shop in store or online at Whole Foods Market today.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
We all belong outside. We're drawn to nature. Whether it's the recorded sounds of the ocean we doze off to or the succulents that adorn our homes, nature makes all of our lives, well, better. Despite all this, we often go about our busy lives removed from it. But the outdoors is closer than we realize. With AllTrails, you can discover trails nearby and explore confidently. With offline maps and on-trail navigation, download the free app today and make the most of your summer with AllTrails.